הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, this is Judge Eve and that was my singing, just telling you to be happy and to wake up brothers and sisters for that matter with a happy heart. And I feel especially happy today because I have special friends, Chaplains Bill and Ann Bauman. And Bill is also an ordained minister. He's also a doctorate of philosophy and religious counseling. And Ann is also a biblical counselor and a great painter. You need to go on their website. They're both authors of Veterans How to Guide, because Bill, having had been a veteran of Vietnam, knows exactly the problems veterans have in trying to collect their due benefits. So without further ado, I welcome you, Ann and Bill. Forgive me for calling you Ann and Bill. I could say Chaplain Ann and Chaplain Bill. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Everything's well here.
And I would be referred to, we just call Bill. Just Bill.
Okay. And you may call
just
me
Ann.
And Ann, I love you guys, and thank you so much for being on the show. What I wanted to ask first is how you each individually got saved. Because, Ann, you're like me. You're a Jewish, right?
Yeah, I am Jewish.
And
how did I get saved?
Yes.
I went through a divorce.
Yes.
And when I remarried, I had some very good friends who had been asking me for years to please come to church with them, which never fit into my other life.
Of course.
But at this time, it yes. fit in well, and we ended up going to a church out, well, we live in Van Nuys, California, so we went to the church on the way.
Yes.
And that was in the fall of 1997.
Wow.
And
Pastor Jack Hayford?
Huh?
Yes. Pastor Jack Hayford?
Yeah, Pastor Jack Hayford.
Yes.
And Jesus, of course, at that time was a foreign word to me.
Right.
Because Jewish people just really didn't talk too much about Jesus.
And
but the one
did,
thing I noticed is that I could understand every word. There was no Hebrew, and I thought that was fabulous.
But, not like in Jewish temples, right?
Yeah, it's a little different, yes. But
yes.
through a series of just time and the Lord working on me, I ended up accepting the Lord in January of 1998.
Wow.
And my life completely changed. I
yes.
was immediately, if not sooner,
yes.
disowned and disinherited.
Yes.
And
by your family, right?
By my family.
Yes.
And found a complete other family, not
yes.
only with my husband's family, who accepted me, that wasn't even an issue,
yes.
but also with people who knew the Lord. And everything has gone upward since then.
Isn't that wonderful? And Bill, I take it you're not Jewish, right?
No, not.
You have a Jewish
well,
name,
I can
you know.
Shock you. I'll shock you because my grandfather is.
That's right. Oh, my God. That's how you
got
the name.
Not too many black men that will say I'm
yes.
Jewish. But there
yeah,
I do have Jewish roots.
What a combination, right? Because I'd like to know. You were raised Catholic, right, Bill?
Yes, I was. I went all the way through Catholic school, kindergarten through high school.
And how did you come to accept? Because just being Catholic doesn't mean you're saved. So how did you come
well,
to accept?
Actually, I accepted knowing who the Lord was
yes.
and lived by the Bible. That's when my mother brought me up.
Really?
So a transition, or some people would say a transition to Christianity was
yes.
not difficult because I studied the Bible almost every day of my life.
So when you say you were raised Catholic and studied the Bible, how do you distinguish that from being Christian or from Christianity?
Well, that's it. Actually, both
yes.
are Christian. Most people don't understand the fact that if you are reading the Bible If you're studying the Bible, if you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit, if you know the Trinity,
yes,
that is Christianity. If you live by the Bible, it's Christianity. There's just many denominations,
right,
and people don't understand other denominations. But I have never not known Christ. And when Anne was baptized, I was rebaptized with her.
Oh, at church on the way, because I don't think you guys...
Actually, it was someplace else, but we had...
It was in a friend's pool.
It was in a friend's pool by two ministers, and I did that because one of them was a Marine friend who was a minister, and we kept that to the military part.
You know, I used to live in Northridge, you know, when I got saved, and Herb Ellingwood, who was then working for Governor Reagan, is the one who told me about church on the way. So for some reason, my husband, who was going to law school, let me go to prayer meetings at church on the way on Wednesday nights. And I thought that was the most wonderful place, and Pastor Hayford, one of the most wonderful, wonderful pastors I've ever known and got to meet later in my life. So you two are, you still going there, right, the two of you together?
Oh, yes. We know all the ministers that have been there. Pastor Jack is now moving around the world, and since then there was Pastor Dan and Pastor Jim Toe, and now we have Pastor Ricky, and Pastor Ricky and Pastor Dan are sharing the duties as pastor of Church on the Way. And it has never changed. It is a great church to be.
Great church. And by the way, weren't his son or son-in-law a pastor for a while, if I recall
He was a pastor. He was preaching. Stepped down real quick, we'll say, off the altar, off the stage, and he went around the corner, passed out, and died.
It was a brain aneurysm.
You, as a young man, right?
He was just getting ready. He was just turning 50.
Oh, my God. Oh, I didn't. I thought I knew he died, but I didn't realize it happened like that. You know, I want to talk a little bit. Yes, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, his wife is now a minister. And one of or two of his sons are also ministers.
Is one of them the one who was kidnapped in Mexico, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it's funny, when I prayed for that young man, I saw what he was wearing. I saw that he was being taken out by the police and apparently was released like within 24 hours. And I kept wondering, why am I seeing police if he's kidnapped? Because he was rescued at that point. You know, he was rescued like within 24 hours. You know, so that's incredible. But I want people to hear what you guys do. First of all, Bill, you also teach Bible studies, and you write Bible verses or teachings regularly.
I write Bible studies for about 10 years. I wrote them every week.
Yes.
Now I do them about once a month.
Yes.
Excuse me. And they're more complex. We have people come to the house, a group of people.
Yes.
I send out the Bible studies to them before the Bible study, so that they can ask questions, and our Bible study is completely interactive.
Wow.
Where Anne, what she does is she sends the Bible study out to over 100 people so that they can do Bible studies. And at the same time, these Bible studies, probably by the end of the year, will be turned into a book. And this will be volume 2 of our Bible study book, and then we will publish it.
Wow, because I get them too, and I thank you for that, Anne, and I'd like to cover some of it. But Anne, tell us a little bit about yourself. Both you and Bill had written the book about veterans, a guide, how to, I say backwards, you know, Hebrews backwards.
A veteran's how-to guide, yes.
So instead of how-to guide, I noticed sometimes I wrote a guide, how-to, and I thought that's not very good English.
Well, for me it is, because I'm also a dyslexic.
Maybe I'm dyslexic and I don't know it.
Well, you're doing a real good job as a dyslexic.
Thank you. But Anne, let me also say, you and Bill wrote that book together, right?
Yes. We went through his travails, his experience of trying to get his benefits while he was getting one of his master's degrees in school, and it actually, the experience actually became his thesis, and that was the birth of the book.
Yes.
But the runaround that he was getting from the government was, to say the least, incredibly frustrating. And so by the time Bill put together the kind of information that veterans need in terms of step one, step two, what to do and what to look for and how to be aware of signs, he asked me to write the foreword, which turned out to be probably the longest part of the book in terms of chapters. But I was so frustrated and so angry at the lack of respect that he and veterans were getting that I just... I wrote the foreword, and it's to say that if there's anybody going through this process, you are not alone, and there is help for you. This book, A Veteran's How-To Guide, has helped so many people.
And that's what
Bill, God bless him, has been receiving phone calls from people he'll never meet.
Wow.
But the word gets around from one to the other, and he has helped veterans across the country. With just in terms of what you need to do.
And that's why
he
really
doesn't do it for you. He'd go crazy doing that. But he'll tell you what you need to do and what your next step will be, because it's for sure that a veteran is going to be turned down the first time they apply. It's just the way the system works.
Unbelievable. And, you know, this is something I would like to get into. But before, if people do need advice, they may contact you, not that you do it for them, but at Chaplains Bowman at hotmail.com. That's C-H-A-P-L-A-I-N-S Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N, at hotmail.com. Also, their book, The Veteran's Guide How-To, or How-To Guide.
No, A Veteran's How-To Guide.
is available at Amazon.com. And I understood from Bill yesterday that he's going to be writing an update to it as well. But what I wanted to cover, too, and, you know, because I know you paint, and I want people to hear about your painting and how they might be able to obtain your paintings as well. What started you painting, by the way, and how long ago?
I retired as an educator. I taught high school for 32 years.
Wow.
And always wanted to paint. My dad was really quite good at painting. He never made a career out of it, but he was good at it.
Really?
It was just something that I wanted to do, I felt I could do. So when I retired, I started taking art classes and found out I was pretty good. And
very good.
I'm very good.
yeah.
And our home is now a gallery.
Of your paintings?
We just keep putting paintings up in the house. We'll add on pretty soon because we've run out of wall space.
It's like people build closets,
I've been selling... I actually sold a couple of paintings off the wall. People would come in and just make me an offer.
Wow.
And then I've also been having giclées made. And a giclée is,
A
computer copy of the painting that's put on canvas. So that it looks like the real thing, but there's no texture. I can texturize it if somebody wants, you know, pay more. But so it's a copy of it, and there's a limited supply of any of them. I have a website on Google.
Yeah.
It's Brushstrokes by Anne, ANNE.com.
So Brushstrokes.
And you can get in touch with me on through there, or are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, go ahead. How else can I get in touch with you?
Brushstrokesbyanne.com. Mm-hmm. If you're on Google, you should be able to leave a comment.
Okay. Okay, so let me just spell it out. It's B-R-U-S-H-S-T-R-O-K-E-S by Anne, A-N-N-E, right?
Yeah, B-Y-A-N-N-E dot com. On Google.
Okay. No email to contact you? They should do it directly through the website.
It should be. You know what? You can get in touch with me at Ann K. Bowman at gmail.com.
So that's A-N-N-E, the initial K, Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N, at gmail.com. You know, I have to say it. I know it's silly, but, you know, as you both say your name, Bowman, it's B-O-W-M-A-N. I'm sorry?
Bowman.
But it's
same as the archer.
Like a bow that you shoot arrows with.
Right. But what keeps coming in my mind is that the Lord let you have that name because you're bowing down to him, the man who bows down to God. Isn't that funny? Just every time I hear your name, that's what keeps coming, the image I get in my mind. So I have to say that. Excuse me, because, you're listening to two honest, pure-hearted, beautiful Christians who live what they talk. And that's what it's all about. And I love you guys for that very much. But also, briefly, you want to talk about how the two of you met each other, or is that okay?
Okay, I think I'll step into that one.
Okay.
About, we knew each other 15 years before we were married.
Wow.
We met working out.
Oh.
We've always worked out.
In a gym.
And, at a gym.
Yes.
And my family, at that time, my wife and kids, became very close with her complete family, mother, father, everyone.
No kidding.
And for 15 years, we knew each other.
Was that in California? Place. I'm sorry, in California?
Yeah, California.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whatever took place between our two families, we both went through divorces at the same time, not because of each other.
Right. Just so happened.
And it was strange. It's like we were put together 2 years later, and we became a we. Now, part of the story that's the best part of the story is her ex-husband and his wife and kids are a couple of our closest friends. And that was only because whatever reason we went through divorces, it wasn't because of us.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, because of us as a pair or a couple. So it really
You didn't cause each other's divorce.
I will lead a Seder with their family. I do Passover with both families.
People understand what that is. I'm sorry.
What you have is a former Catholic. You have a Catholic Christian ordained minister chaplain who is black with a Jewish grandfather who leads the service.
And Seder
we've got all the bases covered.
I wanted to wrap that up real quick on that part. Let me just say, Seder is the ceremony, the first night of the Passover holiday, which is very Jewish, and that is so funny to hear it. And you probably teach them, too, what each thing stands for from the Bible, right? You don't just do
Seder. The Seder was also the Passover. I mean, it was also the Seder, the Passover, and the Last Supper.
Yeah.
Jesus was holding the Seder. That became the Last Supper.
Which is so true. He was Jewish. People forget, you know, he knew everything Jewish, you know. And Jewish people don't see that, you know, like you say, Anda declared you dead. With me, it was severe persecution. My father had all these rabbis call me, and he wrote me letters that I cannot be a salad. I cannot be a Korean and a Jew and a German and a this and a that. So you're talking to a salad. You didn't know that.
Yes, you know what I like to say?
It was.
We're children of God.
Yes, amen.
And they can't take that away from us.
Amen. And like Anne, what you said, that you'd gain more family because the Bible says that every Christian becomes your brother and sister. So you have a huge family, you know?
Oh, yes.
Right? Exactly.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Anne.
No, that's I agree with you.
Yes.
When I was outed by my family and basically, you know, they tried to excommunicate and disinherit, and they thought they were succeeding. And the bottom line is the people who they actually cut out were indeed themselves.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Thanks to the strength I got from Bill here on earth and from the Lord, I was able to go forward and just remember what goes round comes round. And I kept things in my mind that actually helped me to not seek revenge on earth.
Amen.
Not to get angry, because the anger would have been self-defeating. Not to try and hurt anyone, because I would have hurt myself. I just said, fine, whatever's going to be will be. You're in charge, Lord.
Yeah.
And just let the pieces fall. And the pieces fall.
Wow.
They don't fall right away.
But they
it
do,
takes
don't
time.
They? Yes.
But eventually, if you're a good person and you do right and you are right and you stay faithful, eventually things begin to happen for you. The story of Job rings true. I'm telling you, both Bill and I are living examples of what it takes to be patient and faithful.
Wow.
And it rings true.
Wow. No matter what is lost, God gives it over more than double. And always does.
I'm telling you, what goes round comes round.
Comes
and
around.
You stay faithful, and the rewards that you get are beyond belief.
Praise God. And you know something else? That's why God taught forgiveness, because it's not for the other people's sake. It's for our sake that we need to forgive.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Because people get sick.
I forgave them immediately.
Yeah. Yes.
Because I knew they were in pain.
Right. Or they would never react.
Not to
the
say
way
that
they...
I wasn't having trouble absorbing what was being done to me or why it was being done.
Yeah.
But if I tell people frequently, people who are in pain try and inflict pain on other people. Hurting people hurt people because that's all they know how to give.
Yes.
You cannot give away what you don't own.
Right.
And because of that, if someone's in pain, I'll cut to the quick. I just don't hang around negative people.
Good for you. Well, we're not supposed to, you know. We're supposed to only see what is good and good report and kind and good. So how can you do that when you're with negative people? You know, it's very hard to do. We can pray for them, but we don't have to be there all the time. You know?
Amen. And that's exactly what I started to do. I ended up praying for people daily. Things happen. I'm telling you something. The Lord has a marvelous sense of humor. As long as you're on the receiving end of it, you're good.
As long as we belong to Him, right? As long as He's not only our Savior, but our Lord, that He truly controls everything in our lives because we want Him to, you know? But, Bill, I wanted you to talk about your being a veteran, your time in Vietnam, what you have shared with me about PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress syndrome, and really to talk about, as a veteran, what you had to go through in not getting benefits, which led to your writing of the book, both you and Anne, you know, Veterans How to Guide. Am I saying it correctly?
A Veteran's How to Guide. You said it right.
Good.
Now, I could add the whole title to it. It's called A Veteran's How to Guide, and the subtitle is regarding obtaining veterans' disability benefits, dealing with clinical psychological disorders, and problematic stress responses. And it's written in plain English.
Which is what we all need, right? Not convoluted legalism.
Right. And if you want me to kind of summarize the book and what I went through?
Yes.
Basically, I was a Marine.
Yes.
And by the way, I will say this. If you're in combat, people say, well, if you're a Marine or Navy or Air Force, I have never seen a rocket or a mortar or anyone shooting at a uniform or a branch of the service. They're shooting at the United States.
What a good
That's what
point.
They're shooting at. So all of us served on the equal level, no matter what we did.
And I want to thank you for your service to our country. Again, I want to do it publicly.
Thank you. And the people that say, well, I'm a non-combatant, if it wasn't for them, a lot of us would not be alive.
Wow.
They went in the service. They went where they were ordered to be.
Yes.
And by the way, every person in the service is eligible for their benefits.
No matter where they served or how long or anything like that?
Exactly. I have a friend that was hurt in a car accident on the base.
Yes.
Okay? And another one that was off the base.
Yes.
But and they were on duty.
But they were soldiers or military.
People hurt their knees. They don't, you know, your ears, I'm going to use this. When you're firing a weapon, even in training, there's an explosion going off 8 inches from your ear.
Right.
So most of us, we have a ringing in the ears. I think it's called tinnitus.
Right.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go back real quick and say, I was a Marine.
Yes.
I was in Vietnam. I was there doing the Tet Offensive, 67, 68, with the 3rd Marine Division before the 3rd Marine Division lost so many people. They took what was left and put them in the 1st Marine Division.
Wow.
So it was a bad time that year.
Tell us how many people were killed during a year and a half.
Well, we lost, in that 1 year, combined services, combined Americans, we lost 16,000 people, a little more than 16,000 people that was killed in Vietnam. We're not even talking wounded, just in that 1 year.
And you said that was more than the wars we've had since 1991 to the present,
I believe that's more than we've had from Desert Storm, Iraq, and Afghanistan. And, you know, I don't believe they've hit 16,000 yet.
In the 13 years.
But as for the benefits, what happens is the first thing a person has to do, and this is very important, it took me 35 years before I would go and even try to get my benefits. Too proud, I didn't have any missing limbs. And, you know, I said, okay, why, you know, I'm proud. I had a couple of my friends. One of them wears cowboy boots. He was in Vietnam with me, and he advised me what he was going to do with that cowboy boot if I did not go to the VA. Because he told me there was something wrong. I have learned, when you come
home.
In
what way?
You know, when you come home, no matter where you come from, even if you're not in combat, people say you've changed.
Yeah.
That's where you have to stand and look in the mirror.
Yes. And
you're
when
not
they
the same
say
person,
that,
but you don't know it.
How come people say that? What do they see in people when they tell them you've changed? What is your experience?
I'm like, when I came home, I may have verbal outbursts. When I go to sit in a movie theater, I sit on the end of a row, even today.
Why?
When I sit in church, I sit on the end of the row, and everyone in the church knows it.
Why? Why?
And
the
psychiatrist told me when I talked to him, he says, you're ready to run.
In case of an emergency.
Right. I lay my clothes out. Psychiatrist asked me, what do I do with my clothes at night? I said, I lay them on the floor. I said, they're in a nice order, but he says, yeah, you're ready to run.
What, and you still do it today, Bill, after all these years?
Right. And then most of us wind up divorced. That's something else. But the main thing that's important, if a person is being told by a loved one or anyone else, you should go to the VA, go to the VA. Let them check it.
Meaning those reactions, is that what you're talking about? Or
there's so many different reactions. You can have PTSD from a car crash.
Yeah, let's say what PTSD is. It's
post-traumatic stress disorder. It's a traumatic, it's caused by a traumatic event, and mostly a traumatic event that you can't control. Plane crash or divorce.
Yeah.
You can't control it. Yeah. Someone's walked out on you.
Right. You know how they talk about the stressors of life, you know, without the military. A divorce, a death in the family, a move, a loss of employment. Would those all be considered traumatic events then, do you think?
Yes, it is.
And if they happen
to... But we're talking about, and I'm saying that because we're talking about military, you go into, let's use the young men and women fighting abroad or just going abroad right now.
Yes.
When they come home, their families are here struggling. Their families are going through PTSD. They don't may not have the money to pay the bills. And so a wife can have it. Children can have it.
Wow.
So the person in the military, please go get checked.
Yes.
Tell them what you believe is wrong. Listen to your loved one. They'll tell you what's wrong with you.
Yes.
I have a wife that will let me know what's wrong with me even now.
Well, thank God, right? Because otherwise, how would you know? You know?
Yes.
If you don't
too proud to go. You are proud to go in. You are proud as a military person. Be proud to be one of the walking wounded. But don't be too proud to hurt your family by not going.
Tell them how long it took you.
I told them, 35 years.
And they ask you, during those 35 years, were you having symptoms? I mean, why did you even think about going to the VA? What caused you to?
Well, you don't know you're having symptoms. I met a man. We purchased a car the other day, and all I will say is the person that bought the car from me was a veteran.
Wow.
I mean, I bought a car from him, a salesman.
Yes.
Before we finished talking, he said his wife has been trying to get him to go to the VA. Now he says he understands it. He is on his way to the VA.
Wow. And why was
And it's not about going there for money. It's about benefits.
Yeah.
It's about knowing that this is something you earned. It will help you and your wife. It will help your kids.
What kind of benefits is a veteran entitled to?
Okay, there's so many benefits, it's hard to say. But let's say you have schooling, education.
Yeah.
Education for your children if you're a disabled veteran, depending on what level.
Really?
I didn't know that. I could have sent my kids to college for free.
Oh, my God.
If they were
God.
Under 26. My kids are 40 now, the young ones. So,
yes.
But the idea is they will tell you at the VA, and they will give you a book of benefits.
Oh, they will? Yeah.
Oh, yes. No, they will. They are very helpful. The VA reps are very helpful. If you go to the VA and you ask for a VA rep, they will give you some. You can go to American Legion, Veterans of Foreign War, Disabled Veterans, whomever, and they're at the hospitals. They are not government employees, but the minute you sit down and talk to them and you tell them what's wrong, they are typing it up, and you're applying. And when they put your name in that computer,
Yes.
Everything's retroactive back to that date.
And let me ask you, VA, so people who don't know, it's Veteran Affairs type hospital? Is that what you mean?
Well, no, just the Veterans Administration Hospital. They can guide you to help. They are very good.
And usually they're available in every city, every state? How would you describe
their
availability?
Yes, I would say every state for sure, and there's a number of cities. Just like, well, let's say, I know there's one in Denver. I have a friend that drives up there. Excuse me. He drives up there from, I think it's Boulder, Colorado. But there's different, in every state, every veteran will know how to get in touch with the VA hospital.
Okay, and what you're saying is as soon as their family members tell them there's a problem, or seems to be a problem, they should not hesitate to go and try to file a claim with the VA.
Or when they think there's a problem, alcoholism, drugs.
Yes.
Unusual. I have a friend. I asked him, what triggers your PTSD? He said, a barking dog.
Yeah.
He said, pardon me? And it was very simple. He said, remember when we were in Vietnam? He said, the dogs would bark and run, and then the incoming artillery would come in. They could hear it first.
So
when he hears the dog bark, he looks around and he says, I'm home. But for that split second. So there's so many things. People won't go through tunnels.
Yes. You're kidding.
Smells, tastes. You can all bring it back, but you don't realize it.
And, you know, so, we talked about Agent Orange. You know, tell us about that and how it affects you.
Okay, Agent Orange. I've just gone through prostate cancer caused by Agent Orange. I'm a diabetic caused by Agent Orange. There are roughly 16 different diseases. You know, there's lung diseases. There's bronchitis. And there's a number of them. All of them are listed in the book. And as I speak right now, I've turned to the page I marked. Skin disorders. Yes. Cancer of the blood cells, respiratory problems, all this and more can be caused by Agent Orange. And Agent Orange was every place in Vietnam because it was dropped by air.
And what does that mean? Why was it then available everywhere in Vietnam? How does dropping it by air do that?
Well, because it catches, when you drop by plane, if it's windy, it's going to blow.
It's airborne.
It's airborne. You don't know where it's going to land.
Yeah. You know, I was telling Bill, and I was in Vietnam in 1995, not as a combatant. I was there to help with some programs, so I said, I hope I wasn't exposed to Agent Orange. So, Bill, you said
1995?
You're safe now.
Yeah.
But the problem was that we did not know what post-traumatic stress was until the mid-80s, and the government did not admit to the Agent Orange for about 15 years after we left Vietnam, and many men died, many men and women died, and never knew what caused it.
Hasn't a similar thing happened since the Gulf War, that people got very sick, and I don't know if it was Agent Orange or something else that was the people were exposed to either intentionally or unintentionally, and the government denied it?
There were gases when they had the fires. But I will say the government now, they're aware. And we as Vietnam veterans, and I'm going to use the Vietnam veterans, we will make sure that people are aware of what's going on.
Good.
I mean, when we came home, we were spit upon. So we have a saying when we walk up to each other, welcome home, brother. We can take care of that ourselves. Veterans that didn't go overseas, let's say they never left California or they never left Seattle. They put that uniform on, and the people during the 70s were calling them names and everything else. And there's another form of PTSD. They were not accepted in their own country.
And didn't you also tell me they couldn't get jobs, which is why so many like you became policemen?
Yes, it was very difficult to get a job because it was like, oh, you're a baby killer, or they just look at you. It's the people, some of the people that were interviewing you were the people that were out on the street. They were young people. And so that was what was taking place. And what we had to do, most of us, wound up doing one thing we never wanted to do again, carry a gun.
Oh, my God. I hadn't thought of it like that. Of course. Why would you want to after a war?
Your job was to carry a gun, go out there, look for trouble, and handle it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, a couple of things before I forget. First, I was shocked. You told me 23 million people. Are they alive today who have been military personnel in the United States?
Yeah, I believe that was 22 million. There's 22 million veterans. I was reading something. that said there were 22 million veterans in the United States today.
Today.
Very few left from World War II. But.
Wow. And the other thing that both you and Anne, and I know Anne got frustrated too, you said when people file for benefits, they're almost automatically always denied or the benefits are declined when it's the first time filing for them?
Well, what takes place is when they file, like when I filed, okay, I have, let's say I didn't know I had PTSD, but I have PTSD. Well, if they deny me, I just say, okay, enough of these people, and walk away. Now the government doesn't have to give me benefits, any kind of benefits, for the rest of my life, except if I go to the VA hospital and need medical care.
Yes.
So I have walked away from them.
Wow.
Instead, in the book, I tell people step by step what to do. And also, these veterans reps will tell you what to do. The difference in my book and the veterans reps, I go into detail about family, about Agent Orange, about TBI, which is traumatic brain injuries, and so on and so forth.
Let me just add a way to contact you would be Chaplains Bowman, C-H-A-P-L-A-I-N-S Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N, at hotmail.com. That's Chaplains Bowman.
Right, or they can actually send, if they wanted to send something to me in writing, it would be Bill Bowman.
Yes.
P.O. Box 17431.
Yes.
Encino, that's E-N-C-I-N-O, California, 91416-7431.
Let me just repeat it, and it would be mailing it to Bill Bowman, P.O. Box 17431, Encino, California, 91416-7431. And let me, I want to, before we go
it may take me a time to get back to you because we're moving around, but I get back to everyone. Now, this is very important to understand. Anyone I try to help, because we can work by email. We do not take any type of money, and we will not accept any kind of donations. We've closed down a foundation that we had because every veteran has earned whatever they have, and God does not want us to take what someone else has earned. But we will help you as much as we can. We've helped people for 5 years straight.
And you hear what they say. These are true-hearted Christians. God says, freely you have received and freely give, and that's how they live. I wanted to repeat Anne's website for her paintings, and it's, again, brushstrokesbyanne.com. Anne, is there anything you wish to add before we go into the Bible studies and have you both discuss that as well?
Oh, you know what? All I can tell you is stay faithful. God is good, and he will bless you. You just need to stay focused on him when times are tough.
Amen.
Can I say something here?
Of course.
Please.
And will you add in a few things on people that you've seen with PTSD that have come forward to help me, and how it is to live with a person with PTSD even when we go in a restaurant? Let's say I'm there and my brother's engaged there, who was a sniper for years. 18 months, I should say, and in the same war.
Very good point.
What happens today if we go into a restaurant?
Yes, the spouses should be aware. The first thing etiquette says, ladies, where would you like to sit?
Right.
No matter where we go, the first thing I will say is, Bill, what seat do you want?
Wow.
He needs to have his back covered, and he needs to be facing the door.
However,
need to arrange that, wherever he's comfortable is where he needs to be.
Wow.
If we're on an airplane, I don't have to tell you, I'm always in the middle seat. It's not where
outside.
I really want to be. It is where I am because he needs to be on the aisle.
Wow.
And if he's on the aisle and I'm at the window, you know somebody else is going to sit in between. So I'll just as soon sit in the middle seat. We go to the movies. It could be 12 o'clock on noon on a Tuesday when there's like a handful of people in there. He will have to sit on the aisle.
Wow. So
and,
the PTSD
and I cannot come up behind him and just put my hands on him. When Bill and I first got married, I used to like to come up behind him and you know, just kind of surprise him with a kiss. That's the best way to get yourself knocked out.
Wow.
A couple of times he almost took me out because the reflex action of what's behind me is so swift and they're so highly trained that you don't realize
they don't realize what they're doing. And consequently, it's very, very dangerous for a woman to come up behind a vet without first saying, I'm home. Even when if I go out to walk the dog, I have to tell him I'm home. If he hears a door close and there's no reason for it to open and close, he'll be at the door in a second.
But see, I also thank God I was able to control myself and have never touched her.
Oh,
but she also, my brother was looking at television the other day.
And he was in the war also?
You cannot come up behind a vet. You just can't. You have to let them know you're there.
So the PTSD continues.
Surprises are out the window. It's just part of the territory.
And that's PTSD so many years later still in control.
Oh, it's for life.
It's a lifetime.
Some people will say, they'll tell me, the Lord will heal it. And I agree, the Lord can heal anything at any time. He can completely heal you.
Yeah.
However, I'm like this. If I break a leg, the Lord has given a man medical skills to set that leg.
Right.
And then the Lord will heal that leg and make it stronger than the other leg.
Yes.
Because I know I have to work with him on certain things.
Yes.
But he has all power to do everything there is at any time.
Yes.
But there are certain things that we have to know, too, to protect our family.
Yes. And you're still doing it, in effect, right? By reacting.
Right. And our family knows it. My daughter, sometimes she will laugh at it because I will tell you how I relax.
Yes.
I will go in my little office and I have a whole collection of cartoons.
Oh, and you watch them? Is that why?
And everyone knows.
Absolutely.
I even work and I wrote the book with cartoons on.
You're kidding. It relaxed your mind. You know, the lady who is my webmaster, I told you she's written a book and she has a machine called Train Your Brain, Change Your Life. And she's now working on helping people with PTSD, in other words, to change the brain frequencies so they can operate normally or at least have some peace. So I'll have to tell her about that. Well, I know she'll be listening to the show, so we'll see how that can help people.
And she can call me anytime she wants. You can give her my number.
Okay,
I just don't want to add over the air.
No, of course not. No, please don't. Her name is Nikki, and I'll email you so you know who it is. But also, I know you teach the Bible study, and I love your Bible study. I love the one you had about the minor and the major prophets. But is there any topic that you and Ann want to cover regarding your Bible studies before we go into the prophet situation?
Well, we've written together. We've written so many. What we do is we have people request.
Ah.
I have a very, very dear friend who's Catholic.
Yes.
And he asked a question, and he stumped me in a way. He says, please write on perfect and imperfect contrition.
Interesting.
Okay? I actually had to research it.
Yes.
And what I came down to was, as per Catholicism, it's right there, perfect and imperfect contrition, and it's still a contrition, a perfect contrition between you and God.
Yes.
In Christianity, we don't have perfect and perfect. We just say we have a relationship with God.
And we ask
and in that relationship, we will pray. We ask to be forgiven.
Yes.
And so on and so forth. So that was a very interesting one. We've had them on Ruth.
Yes.
Just about, I would say, I've written probably 200 of them.
Wow.
He is truly anointed.
I know.
Great.
Do you work with Bill, or how does that come about? How do the Bible studies come about?
You mean, well, right now someone has asked me to write something on the church.
Oh.
Okay.
Generally,
this is what I'm getting ready to work on. Example.
Yes.
The church does not have to have four walls.
Wow.
But this person advised me it has to have four walls for it to be a church. No.
Yes.
The body, the assembly, the congregation
is the
church.
Is the church. That's what Jesus said.
And that's what the Lord did. He walked around, and when you see in the Bible where it says he had an assembly.
Yes.
Assembly is a congregation, but you take it back through Greek.
Yes.
See, it's a different time, different meaning. And
that
was before the church. However, he did preach in a temple or a synagogue.
Right, at the time.
But he preached only a couple of times there.
We forget that, you know, that he actually preached to Jewish people, you know. I mean,
Well, his whole purpose was to preach to Jewish people. And if you, when you get deep in the Bible, the apostles started, when they went out, they're the ones that took everything to the Gentiles at his instruction.
Right, 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 exactly. But he's the one who wasn't, what was then Israel. You know, people say the Jews don't have a right to the country because the Palestinians
own
it.
No, they do.
Let me tell them, the 12 tribes are right there, you know, and I can tell you that. But
well,
no,
what
that
I'd like
is,
to say is Jesus did not have a car. He did not have email or anything else. But what he did have was his two legs.
And
verbal communication. You see, his whole area of preaching was within 200 square miles.
You never think about that.
And if people don't think that's not powerful, I would love to start a business today and only spend 3 years trying to start my business.
In 200 square miles?
Yeah, in 200 square miles, and 2,000 years later, it's still going strong and getting stronger.
And written everywhere, right? Whereas he spoke it, somebody else had to scribe it, right, or write it down.
And they were inspired, and they put the Bible out, and the Bible handles everything from sociology, psychology, anatomy. Yes. It's all in there.
Yes. Isn't that the truth? Gives you an answer to every situation we face in life, no matter what it is. You know, we just have to go find it and or turn to the Holy Spirit for guidance and get it confirmed with a word, you know?
Well,
so
that's what the Lord said when Matthew, well, I'll just say, at the beginning when the Lord was baptized.
Yes.
The last time, well, first of all, God spoke to everyone. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Abraham. And I like to say it, God had a gift again. However, that was the Tanakh or Old Testament.
Yes.
But when Jesus was born,
yes,
the last time you heard God speak was to say, "This is my Son."
Yes.
And he also said, "And this is the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
So he verified or validated the Trinity and stopped speaking, because then he was speaking through Jesus.
Through them.
And
through
Jesus
them.
Is also known as the Word.
Amen. And you know something? This should be a title of the book, God Has the Gift of God. I love that. You know, the alliteration. And do you think? I think it would be great.
Every time you open the Bible, he was talking to somebody.
And God spoke, right?
That's right.
Isn't it? And, you know, I'd like you, and again, Anne, do you have anything you wish to add, you know, that you feel like you want to comment on?
Oh, you know what? If I could add something that hasn't been said, it would be great. But it the blessing is that we're able to help people.
Yeah.
I do biblical counseling with a lot of women. And, again, I really don't charge. It's a gift.
Oh.
And as long as I'm able to help people with their issues and keep them focused on the Lord, that's great. When people come over for Bible studies and it helps them or enlightens them, that's a gift. When Bill helps the veterans, and like I said, that's been across the nation in terms of people who call. It's just a blessing to be able to help. Help people.
God bless
and,
you. How do they contact
I'd like to say
you?
Something. Sometimes then she forgets just how powerful her words are.
Yes.
Did you not write a book that we're getting ready to publish?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is
that?
What is it called?
When I was going through the situation with my family, I wanted to write about it just to get it out of my system, but it wasn't flowing as a novel because it really was way too convoluted.
Yes.
So Bill suggested to me one day that I write a series of vignettes. And a vignette is when you take the gist of the story, but you change the ethnicity, you change the location, you change everything you can to protect the guilty. So, you know, basically that's it. So I wrote a series, it's called, and it's not published yet, but it's called Observations in the Key of Life.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. I took each person, many of whom are family, some of whom are former students, some of whom are friends. There are about 15 vignettes.
And me.
And you. And I told their stories Yes. But I also intertwined psychological observations based
wow.
on research I did and
wow.
a biblical scripture that was appropriate for each story.
Yes.
And it came out well.
I love that.
I tried to get it published with a publishing house, and, of course,
yes.
I also tried to swim in shark-infested waters. That's just...
Why don't you do self-publishing? You know, I think Nook does that.
We're going to.
Good.
We're going to do that.
Good. And let me know, you know, so we can advertise it for you. Let me just repeat
okay.
again,
okay.
and because at the end I would like Bill to pray for us before we leave. And also I'd like to mention again the book that they already have out through Amazon.com, and it will be updated, is Veterans How to Guide. Am I saying it
right.
correctly? You know, I'm trying to think how I would say it in Hebrew. And then forthcoming books will be God Has the Gift of Gab. And please state your book again, and the vignette book, what do you call
well,
it again?
Again, it's not out, but it's called
yes.
Observations in the Key of Life, and it will
I
be published, all I can say is shortly.
Okay. Oh,
and
I
we have those
that.
Two Bible study books
yes.
explaining how to do Bible studies
oh,
that will be
you're
coming
kidding.
Out, but they also have copies of the Bible yes. studies that you have in them so that people can use those as
yes.
their own Bible study, so they know
wow.
how to approve, how to use it. In other words, how to do a Bible study in their home.
Wow, because very quickly, we only have a few minutes, but talk very briefly about the major prophets and minor prophets. You've done a Bible
okay,
study
very
on that,
simply,
and I
you have
love
the major
it.
Prophets that everyone knows. The minor
yes.
prophets wrote the books. There's 12 of them. They wrote
yes.
12 books.
Yes.
And those 12 books, they're not in it, except for Jonah. So
oh.
what you do is you go in, you look at these 12 books right around Jonah, and
yes.
that will give you the 12 minor prophets, and look at the purpose of each book, and they all tie together.
Interesting. I never thought that they're not in it. What you mean by those are the shorter books, right? You know,
right, like
yes.
Jonah. It's short.
Jonah. But you say Jonah is in it. The others are not in their books. And I
that's
never
right.
I never thought about that. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And the major ones would be the larger books, Isaiah, Jeremiah.
Exactly.
And all those.
The ones that everyone knows.
Yes. We only have a couple of minutes. Is there anything else either one of you wishes to say before, if I may have you pray at the end, Bill, if you don't mind?
Well, the one thing I want to say is thank you very much for having you on your show.
Oh.
Having us on your show.
Oh,
and
thank
that,
you.
You know, we have all the respect and love for you. And
I love
we
you
were
guys.
Blessed when we met you, when we were in your area. And
thank
we
you.
Look forward to meeting you again.
Same.
And we look forward to helping anyone that needs help. And sometimes
yes.
we need help, so we've had to learn to listen too.
Yes.
And
anything I can do.
I just
want to
say
you.
Thank you for the opportunity for us
thank
to get
you.
The word out there. And
yes.
especially for people out there who listen to you. You know, I got excommunicated because my family didn't understand, and it's just a matter of getting Jewish people to understand.
Yes,
Yeshua is Jewish.
Right.
I still don't get what the conflict is.
Yes,
you know. So
yes.
it's just a matter of getting the word out to people to understand the gifts that He can give as soon as you open your arms to receive them or your heart
Amen.
To receive them.
Amen. I agree, and I thank you both so much. I love you. We have about 1 minute. Bill, are you led to pray? Just give us
yes.
a closing prayer.
I'm going to give you a real quick prayer that we wrote for the military.
Oh, wonderful.
Almighty Father, bless and protect all the men and women serving in the United States Armed Forces.
Guide
yes. and direct them in defense of the United States of America and in the maintenance of justice throughout the world. Blessed
yes.
are those who stand in the tradition I'm trying to read it too fast.
Oh, take your time.
Okay. Joshua, I'm sorry. Blessed are those who stand yes. in the tradition of Joshua and who follows orders to protect people against evil forces.
Yes.
And to say this, Almighty Father, we thank you for this show. We thank you for
yes.
everyone listening. And may you
yes.
protect us and protect the United States, Lord, and
yes.
keep the Christians go strong and
yes.
always allow us to know that Jesus is here today, yesterday, and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
I thank you so much. Thank you, Bill. Chaplains Bill and Ann Bauman. People, you got to get their books, and there will be so many more to come. I love you both very much. I feel like I've always known you. So have a blessed, blessed day, and thank you so much for appearing on the show. And everybody,
and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you again.
God bless you both. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hevenu shalom aleichem, Hevenu shalom aleichem, Hevenu shalom aleichem, Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem, Hevenu shalom aleichem, Hevenu shalom aleichem, Hevenu shalom aleichem, Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem, Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.